Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful for this opportunity to gather like this as your people, to hear your word, to hear you speak to us. Father God, your word says, if we allow you to transform our thinking, Father, our lives will never be the same again. So, Lord, we open our hearts this morning to your word. And we say, Father, speak as you desire. Spirit of the living God, we receive the seeds that you want to sow in our hearts. We receive the renewal of our minds. And we receive the life that you are bringing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are continuing with our series on the real gospel. Oh, by the way, the message that Andrew preached the first night, the title was The True Gospel. We are in our series entitled The Real Gospel. And he used this exactly as I said earlier. He used the same book, the book of Romans. Now, we started about 7 weeks ago on this series. And it has been a wonderful build up, and we've been enjoying it. I'm enjoying it more. And today we are on chapter 8. Last week we spent the whole service on one verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The whole message was on that verse. Today the Lord is allowing us now to continue to move on. We are going to be able to go through Romans 1 up to 17. Then next week, we'll continue until the Lord says enough. The title of our message is, Your Victory is in Living Life in the Spirit. We tend to try and live our lives in the flesh. By flesh, I'm talking about our abilities. Let me talk about our five senses. I'm talking about what we hear, what we see, what we feel, what we taste, what we smell. You know, those senses. We try to live our lives according to that. Such that as well, when it comes to serving the Lord, if we don't feel God, we think God is not there. Then we forget that He said in His word, I am with you all the time. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Whether you see Him or you don't see Him in any way, know that He is there. We want to serve Him then in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But we forget that the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself as He wills. We do not dictate to Him that He now can manifest Himself. Can't say, Holy Spirit, it's the right time now. You have to manifest yourself. No, we can't do that. He manifests Himself as He wills. We go to God in prayer, in faith, and we trust God to answer us. And then the Holy Spirit will bring to pass that which we are trusting God for. We can't dictate how He does that. So that is why then we need to serve the Lord in spirit. Now we know that John chapter 4 verse 24 says, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in flesh. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. And in John chapter 6 verse 63, the Bible says, the words that I speak to you are spirit. So you know that if you stick with the word of God and you act as the word of God directs you, you know that you are doing that which is the Lord expecting from you. In other words, doing things in the spirit. The points that I want to cover with our message today. The first one is, we are either ruled by the Holy Spirit or we are ruled by our desires. Remember in chapter 7, we looked at the man that was crying saying, oh wretched man, poor me. Who can help me? Who can deliver me from this body? And then verse 18 tells us exactly that the word was talking about what? It was talking about the flesh. It was not talking about the spirit man. So now we were told that actually that flesh, that natural man, doesn't have to control us and tell us how to serve God. When we ended that chapter, then we understood that Christ then has brought us the redemption from that wretched man. So our flesh does not have to control us anymore. We are completely free from that. And how did God accomplish that? He took out of us the sin nature. In each one of us now, there is no more a sin nature because we are born again. If you're still not born again, of course, the sin nature is in you. But if you're born again, the sin nature has been taken out of you. You'll remember our example of a car. When I'm driving the car, when I take the foot off the accelerator and put the car in neutral, that car will eventually come to a halt. It will eventually stop. Why? Because I took the power out, the force that was making the car to move forward. So how can then a Christian stop being ruled by their flesh? It is possible because the Lord took the engine, the sin engine, if I can put it like that. He did not just take the pedal off. He took the engine out of that car, that flesh, that sinful nature. He took that engine and he put it outside. So what is happening then is, as a Christian, you were walking in this way. You had a momentum. You had built momentum growing in your sins, in sinning. But then what happened then is, because now the engine has been taken out of this car, this car doesn't have the power now to move in that direction anymore. Nothing is pushing it. So this car will eventually come to a stop. And so what did we say? We said, when a person gets born again, I must not dictate to that person that you must stop this, you must stop that. I must allow the Holy Spirit to change that person. Because now what's happening is the force, the sin nature is taken out of this person. Now if this person starts now renewing his or her mind, what's going to happen is, because you can take the engine out of the car as it is moving, it doesn't mean that the car will immediately stop. But it will gradually come to a stop. That has happened with our spiritual lives when we accepted Christ. Christ took out the sin nature. So he took out the engine to sin. So when I find myself still sinning, I must know that those are the habits of the old nature. But I know that the old nature is taken out of me. So if I am busy now renewing my mind, what will happen is I am going to start forming new habits, which will then empower me to be able to live in the Spirit. Live as the Spirit says I should. So my focus as a believer is not on trying to stop to sin. My focus is on changing my mind, renewing my mind. Because as I renew my mind, I am helping myself to bring this lifestyle to a halt as quick as possible. Because I was doing those things because the sin nature had made my mind to conform to those standards. So then when I then change my mind now, I will see my behavior changing. And we said, that is why then, when we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, around 24, 25, 26, the Bible says, let us then motivate one another to do the works or acts of goodness. Because now there is no more law dictating to us that we should not do certain things or we should do certain things. Now, what we do is we motivate ourselves now, motivate one another. And it says, do not then forsake the assembling together with other beloved Christians, with the brethren, because that helps in transforming your mind. Today, what I'm talking about is the power now to live. Now, we've dealt with the flesh in chapter 7. We are now free from the flesh. We understand that we don't have to to look at the flesh. We can ignore the flesh, but you don't ignore the flesh and just stay neutral. What you need to do is take your focus now away from your flesh and put your focus on the Spirit now. Start living in the Spirit. That's who you are. Start living as the Lord reveals Himself to you. Take that word. Start living that word. And that word is going to change your life. Now, what I'm saying is, chapter 8 of the book of Romans, it's talking about the fact that we are either ruled by the Holy Spirit or we are ruled by our desires. There is no in between. And it is our choice to either be ruled by the Holy Spirit or be ruled by our desires. We have a choice because the sin nature has been taken out of us. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, sin will not dominate us because we are not under the law. The Bible says the law is the ministry of condemnation. Think about that. The law had a ministry, and that ministry was to condemn people. Where do you find that? It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says the law is the ministry of condemnation. So, this word then, it says, sin will no longer dominate you because you are no longer under the ministry of condemnation. So, if you do not allow yourself to be condemned, sin will have no power over your life. You allow yourself to live under condemnation, sin will have control over your life. Get out of the ministry of condemnation. Now, the question we need to answer today is, how do we overcome evil desires? And that is what Romans chapter 8 is all about. The answer is to allow the Holy Spirit to rule us. Don't be ruled by your flesh. Allow the Holy Spirit to rule you. When we went through Romans chapter 6, we realized that we now have a choice. We don't have to be subject to sin anymore. We don't have to be subject to our desires anymore. It is now our choice. It's completely dependent on us. So now, here, what we're learning is the way to overcome the evil desires is to allow the Holy Spirit to start ruling us. The other point that I want to make today before we start reading from the book of Romans chapter 8 is that living in the Spirit takes faith. Now, remember faith. Faith is not based on what you see. Faith is not based on the stuff that you can do yourself. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. It is the substance of things not seen. It is the evidence of things that we hope for. So in other words, when you say I'm living by faith, I don't live according to what I have, what I can see here, but I live according to the promise of God. I live according to the end result that I am looking for. So I start seeing myself as in possession of what God promised me. Remember the story of Abraham? God said to him, I am going to give you a son and you will have multitude of generations after you. The Bible then says God told him to start looking at the stars. And he said, if you can count the stars, that's how many your children and your children's children will be like. He said, if you can number the sand, that's how many your children and your children's children will be. Now, God wanted him to start living in the world where the natural did not matter to him anymore. He still did not have the child that he was looking for, the child of the promise. He did not. But when you start going to Romans chapter 4 now, and you start reading from verse 16, then it starts talking about how strong Abraham was in faith. The Bible says he hoped against hope. How did he get there? It's because he kept his eyes on the promise of the Lord. He saw himself having so many children coming after him. And today we are his children as well. But he got there. How? By seeing the unseen through the spiritual eye. That is what faith does. So now look at yourself then now. When you say, for instance, there's an issue in your life that you're dealing with and there's something that you want to overcome in your life. If I say living in the Spirit takes faith, what does it mean? You are now a child of God. It means you need to start seeing yourself free of the thing that binds you. If you still see yourself bound, you are going to stay bound. You will never be free. Because living in the Spirit takes faith. So start by faith, standing where God has called you to be. See yourself there. The moment you start seeing yourself there, you will see your body will follow what is happening in your mind. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where do you hope? Where does your hope reside? Your hope resides in your mind. So you cannot allow your mind to run around thinking this is not going to work, this is nothing, you know what? You allow your mind to run as it wishes and you say you are in faith. Forget it. Your faith has not kicked in yet. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You must first have hope in your mind. See yourself in possession of what God has promised you. If you're trusting God for anything, don't spend your time worrying about not having it, about what is happening in front of you at this stage. Don't spend your time doing that. What should you do? Start seeing yourself in possession of what God wants you to have. That is living in the Spirit. You are not denying what is happening in the natural, but you are denying that thing to continue being like that. You will see a change in your life when you lift your eyes off from what is happening in the natural into what is happening in the Spirit and you start living there. When you start living there, your life will change. Now here, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit will then change our lives accordingly, deliver us from the flesh that has been dominating us before we were born again. He is going to help us. He is here as a helper, but we need to cooperate with him. How? By start allowing our faith to kick in. Not works, but faith. Faith believes and confesses, and those are the qualities of faith. You will never say you believe if you do not confess what you believe. You can never say that you believe in Jesus Christ if you do not confess that I believe in Jesus Christ. Faith works by confession. So if I want my faith to help me overcome what is binding me, I need to engage my faith by starting to confess that which the Lord says is accomplished and finished in my life. So I need to then take the word of God. Let's take, for instance, let's say I steal. I'm a thief. And I want to be delivered from that. What do I need to do? I need to start engaging my faith. How do I engage my faith then? I take the word of God. I start confessing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Think about it. There I am, I'm trying to steal. And then I'm confessing the Lord supplies all of my needs according to his riches. Do you think I'll be able to continue sinning? Can I continue stealing? Never. What have I done? I'm showing you the practical way of how to deal with the stuff that binds us. Find the word of God. If I am struggling with anger, as an example, and then I feel the anger coming up, boiling, what do I need to do? I need to take the word of God. And then the Bible talks about the fact that the fruit of, I have the fruit of the Spirit within me. That fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love, which is what? It is kind. I start confessing that verse. The love of God fills me. The Spirit of God shed the love of God in my heart. And I walk in love. And love is patient. Love is kind. You know, I go through those things. Do you think I'll continue boiling with anger? No. That is how you overcome your flesh. Engage your faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, and that part, the spirit of faith, you can say the attitude of faith. Faith has an attitude about itself. Faith is not lying down. Faith grabs things, and faith makes things to happen. So it says then, having the same attitude of faith. What is that attitude? According to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. If you believe that God has helped you to overcome your old life, start confessing it. Confess your holiness. Confess your righteousness. Confess that you are full of Christ. Confess. Say it out with your mouth. You will see what will happen. I'm telling you, the devil will lose his power over your life. Don't try to do it in your strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it for you. By living in the Spirit. And living in the Spirit demands that you live by faith, because you cannot please God other than through faith. We like that. We like that part. God is easily pleased. Oh, I like it. God is easily pleased. I can easily please God, Brother Tim. So easily. How can I do it? I just believe what he says. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, for it is impossible to please God without faith. So if I want to please God, I need to start acting in faith. Now here is me, the thief. Let me stick with that example. You know, I always talk about the example of stealing sugar. So that's my example. You listen to all the messages I've preached where I've made the examples in terms of, you know what, sin. I always stick to stealing sugar. Because it's easy. I stick to that. Nobody feels offended. Because you know what? We are adults now. We don't steal sugar anymore. So we all feel comfortable. And then so when I make that example, we are happy. So then what happens then is, here is me. I am busy stealing sugar. And all of a sudden, I start confessing who I am in the Spirit. How God has provided for me. I am telling you, that will be the end of me stealing sugar. Let's take this example as well now. Pornography. As I enjoy watching pornography, while I am sitting with my computer and I'm enjoying watching pornography, then I start talking, I'm the righteousness of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you think I'll still have the desire to continue watching pornography? I'm showing you the practical side of how to live in the Spirit. Do it in faith. You don't see it. You find yourself enjoying the pornography. But then start confessing how righteous you are, how free you are from that. Talk about your righteousness, the fact that you are in right standing with God. God loves you and he sees you and you're blameless before him. I'm telling you, the desire will go away, brother. Was that too sensitive? Remember, we need to make the word as practical as possible. Because what is our aim? Our aim is to change our minds. If we don't make the word practical, we theorize it, other people may never be able to understand it. So that is why I'll make such silly examples as stealing sugar. Because I'm hoping to make a point there. So, another point. We must believe and focus on our righteousness before God. That will transform our behavior. How do I transform my behavior? I believe and I focus on my righteousness before God. The fact that I am righteous. I am acceptable before God. When I start focusing on that, and I believe that, and I start living like that, and I start confessing it. Remember, faith goes with confession. There's no faith if there's no confession. Don't claim to be in faith if you're not confessing. You are not engaging your faith. Engage your faith by confession. So start confessing what the word says about you, and you will see what will happen to your behavior. It will transform. It's a fact. Start confessing your righteousness. It's like the opposite of what religion teaches us. Religion teaches us to confess our sins. Confess how much a sinner you are. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. No, you're confused. How can you be a sinner and saved by grace? You're confused.
Yes.
Definitely. You're definitely confused. You can never be a sinner if you're saved by grace. So that is what religion teaches us. It says, confess, I am a sinner. Oh, I am weak. Think about the Alcoholics, that program. Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a good program. It works for some people. We appreciate what it does for some people. But the challenge that you sit with is they are taught, those people are taught that they must always acknowledge that they are alcoholics. So for the rest of my life, I must acknowledge that I am an alcoholic. Can you see that program? It works. It uses willpower. If you want to do it in the spirit, you confess what you want to be. There is the difference for us. Living life in the spirit. Life in the spirit. That is what chapter 8 is all about. By the way, I'm aware that I haven't read chapter 8 as yet. But if I do not prepare you for what you will read there, you'll feel condemned. You'll feel like, oh, what is this? So I need to prepare your hearts. I want you to know who you are in Christ. And now, when we take off, you are inside the spirit. Don't look at yourself from the outside now. See yourself inside the spirit. Just see your life in the spirit. Then go and read Romans chapter 8. You'll see that book will bless you. But if you're still in the flesh, you're looking at the spirit over there as what you need to achieve, you'll feel bad. You will feel like you belong to Romans chapter 7. Does it make sense, Basalan?
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Look at this. Beholding as in a mirror. We are looking at what? The glory of the Lord. Eh? So we are looking in this mirror. We see the glory of the Lord. And what's the glory of the Lord? It's what the Lord as well has accomplished for me. So I focus on what the Lord has done for me. I am beholding the glory of the Lord. What's going to happen? It says, are being transformed. Can you see how transformation happens to us? We are being transformed into the same image. And this transformation into the same image, it is not a once-off thing, but it happens as we are being transformed from glory to glory. And just as by the Spirit of the Lord, that means this work, this transformation is done by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at that, look at that. It's not you who is changing your behavior. It is the Holy Spirit that is changing your behavior. Don't try to do it in your strength. Now we can talk about Romans chapter 8. In us looking at Romans chapter 8, I'm going to use a different version compared to the one that we've used in the past. Why? Because I want us to think a little bit. Some of us memorize these versions. And therefore, when we read those verses, we think we know what they mean. So if we use a different version, we get an opportunity to think a little bit. And then we can at least get a little bit of a revelation of the word of God. And not to just take the word as if it is like this. Whereas, no, it's not. So I'm using the contemporary English version. Let's look at this now. Verse 1. If you belong to Christ Jesus, you won't be punished. I mean, who doesn't like that? Okay, what is the King James Version saying? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right. Yeah, if you've been chased, if you have been chased, you understand what it means. But somebody else may not really understand this. So the idea is, let's help those who are not chased. But I can tell you, we're also helping those who are chased, because they have been made to think religiously. Let's say it as it is. If you belong to Christ Jesus, you won't be punished. So you won't be punished by a storm hitting you. You won't be punished by lightning hitting one arm of your body and you lose your body. You won't be punished by your kidney failing. You won't be punished by sicknesses or diseases, by poverty. You won't be punished by all those things. Amen. The fact is, you will not be punished. And if God does not punish you, in other words, you don't have to do anything for you to win his favor, that he doesn't punish you. Just be in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ Jesus, you won't be punished. There is nothing like a generational curse for a Christian. Oh, understand that part. There is nothing like that. You are a new person altogether. Altogether. What is happening with you experiencing what was experienced by your forefathers? You know where it comes from? Look at the book of Ezekiel, where God was saying, I'm going to punish your iniquities down to the fourth generation. But in the same book, later on, God came back and he said, there's coming a time when all men will answer for their own sins. No child will carry the sins of their fathers. Now, what do I need to do then to be free from my generational curses that I'm seeing in my life? I just have to renew my mind. Because what is happening is that devil now has a hold in my life because of the wrong belief that I have. I have this wrong belief. My father and my father's father were like this. And therefore, you know what? That is in my blood. I thought you have the blood of Christ in you now. What's happening now? What happened to you? I thought you've changed. I thought you're a new person now. Why do you continue now living as if you are bound to your natural life? Live in the Spirit. You'll see your freedom. Live in the Spirit. You'll see your freedom. Live in the Spirit and you will see your freedom. The Holy Spirit will give you life that comes from Christ Jesus and will set you free from sin and death. Okay, think about that. Can you see? The Holy Spirit will give you life. You are not going to have life on your own. This life comes from the Holy Spirit. And what is he also going to do? He's going to set you free from sin and death. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his job. He loves doing it. He's faithful to the Father. He wants to do what he was sent to do. Verse 3. The law of Moses cannot do this, because our selfish desires make the law weak. Okay, do you understand? The law is not a problem. This law is not an issue. But it's our selfish desires that make the law not to work. So that is why God had to substitute the law. The law could not accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So we are not against the law. But God set you free when he sent his own son to be like us sinners and to be a sacrifice for our sin. God used Christ's body to condemn sin. God condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. So in other words, the power of sin was made weak in the body of Christ. How? Because the body of Christ was made the sacrifice to pay for all our sins, and therefore we were set free from the power of sin. So sin has no power over our lives anymore. So if I sin today, I must know that it means nothing before God. It means everything to me. It means everything to people around me. If I steal sugar and I am caught and I'm sent to jail, you know what will happen? My family will feel it as well. But before God, do you think that God is angry at me? Never. Because Christ paid for that sin. Today, I go out and I commit adultery. What's going to happen? It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my wife. It's going to hurt my family. Do you think God will love me less? Forget it. He won't. But it's going to hurt my family, and I can lose my family. So sin has impact to us in the world. Sin has impact in the lives of those that surround us. But before God, Christ paid for all those sins. So what will happen if I commit sin and I live in that sin and it brings death to my body? I'll go to heaven quickly. That is what is going to happen. There's a verse for that. You don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. You know what Paul said? There was a man that was having a relationship with his stepmother. And Paul was saying, how can this be in the house of the Lord? That a man will have a relationship with his stepmother. And he said, and you, church, you allow those things to happen. Why do you do that? And then he said what? He said, now I have judged in the spirit. Now what I want you to do is I want you to hand this man over to the devil so that he will destroy his flesh. When the devil destroys his flesh, his soul will be saved. So the man was living in sin. Sin was going to kill his body, but he was going to make it to heaven. So he was going to go to heaven quickly. That is the effect of sin. Sin will help you to get to heaven quickly. It's not going to keep you away from heaven. I know. This is the word of God. Eh? This is the word of God. And we have been taught the opposite. You know, I was standing in the queue to pay for the material that I bought at Andrew Womack's meeting. There was this gentleman standing behind me talking to another lady. He's an elderly gentleman. He lives in Pietermaritzburg. He was saying to this lady, you know, some people do not want to talk about hell. There's nothing wrong about talking about hell. Actually, Jesus talked about hell many times. And so he was saying it's so important that we need to talk about hell. And I thought, I think it is important, but the context matters. If I'm talking about hell to scare you so that you do not sin, forget it. Forget it, brother. It's wrong. It is wrong to talk about hell to scare people so that they don't go to hell. That's what the law was doing. That was the purpose of the law. And you must remember, Jesus Christ, when as well, he spoke about hell. He spoke about hell so many times because he lived under the law at that stage. He was preaching to people that were living under the law. And God was getting results through fear. He got them to fear God. And now we're living in a different dispensation. Okay, I see some eyes are asking me, Jesus lived under the law. Yes, remember the new covenant only started when Christ rose from the dead and offered his blood to the Father. The Bible says Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. So Jesus Christ came to live the law perfectly. We have to understand that. And that is why then his disciples, you find that when they started preaching in the book of Acts and the book and you read the epistles, they don't preach the same stuff that Jesus Christ preached. Ooh. They never preached then forgive others so that God will forgive you. That's just an example for you. Jesus said that because they were still living under the old covenant, under the law. If your forgiveness is dependent on whether you forgive others or not, you won't see heaven. All right, we'll get there. Don't worry. I'll help you with that. We'll get there. I'm just trying to say to you, guys, we need to learn to divide the word of God correctly. So we need to understand the word of God and apply the word. There's a lot of freedom for us here, and we live in bondage because of religion, because we've taken things for granted. We did not interrogate what was preached to us. We just took it. Verse 4. He did this so that we would do what the law commands by obeying the Spirit instead of our own desires. Now, this is powerful now. He took the law out. The law became weak because of our evil desires. So God then had to take the law out. When he took the law out, then God is going to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish through the law, but he's going to accomplish it differently now. How is he going to accomplish it? He's going to accomplish it by us following the Spirit of God. Now, there I go to do something wrong. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God starts stirring in me the right stuff. And it could be just reminding me who I am in the Spirit. And I start confessing who I am in the Spirit. I start thanking God for who I am in the Spirit. Think about this. Here is sin in front of me. And I say, Father, I thank you for what you've done before me. Thank you so much. I praise you for the life that you've given to me. And thank you for making me righteous. I'm telling you, what will happen? I'm not going to follow my desire. The desire vanishes. There is a story that is told by Creflo Dollar when he talks about the power of words. He normally gives this example. He says, count from 1 to 10. I want you to do the same thing now. I want you, don't say it outwardly, just in your mind, count from 1 to 10. Let's start. 1. Say your name. Okay, let's start afresh. I want you to count from 1 to 10 in your mind. Let's start counting. 1. Say your name. Okay, tell me, what happens to your counting when you start saying your name? You stop immediately. How do you stop the wrong thoughts? How do you stop the wrong thoughts in your mind? Speak the word. Confess the word. I'm getting excited here. Yeah? I'm really getting excited here. This is how you break the evil desires. Confess. Confess the word. Confess who you are. Praise be to God. Verse 5. People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Now, remember, do you ever sin on behalf of somebody else? Did you ever sin on behalf of somebody else? Never. You never sin on behalf of somebody else. You sin for yourself. In other words, self-centeredness is the root of sin. What you are thinking about there is just yourself. When you sin, when you follow your evil desires, it tells you that at that point in time, you are thinking of yourself. Think about this. I'm a man. All of a sudden, I think of getting into a wrong relationship. I've forgotten about my family. I've forgotten about this work that I'm doing here. I'm thinking only about myself. So, what is the answer then to that challenge that I have? Obviously, there is an answer. Let's look at this. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things. So Christ-centeredness is the answer to the desire to sin. So I just switch. I start becoming Christ-centered. The moment I stop being self-centered and I become Christ-centered, I am going to stop sinning.
Sure.
I'm teaching you how to stop to sin the right way. Not the religious way. But it's not me, it's the Bible. We are going this series here, the real gospel. The book of Romans today, chapter 8. This book is telling us how to stop sinning. You seldom hear this though, because we run away from the book of Romans if we are religious. We choose some scriptures from there. We don't cover the book as we're doing. We don't go verse by verse. No, we don't. God bless us. Hallelujah. Will it be easy to steal while confessing that God has supplied all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? The answer is no. Verse 6. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. You remember I told you? I had to prepare you for this. Because I don't want you to read this now and be scared. I gave you the context. To say, when you die, you'll make it to heaven. Don't worry. You'll get to heaven quickly. But the fact is, sin kills. If you live according, if you just follow your desires, there are some people who just want to bang their heads every night, you know, listening to something and they're smoking something. You know what? They're going to heaven quickly. If they're born again, they will make it quickly. But if they're not born again, they're going straight to hell. That we must know. When we call people to Christ, we use Romans chapter 2, verse 4. We use his kindness. The Bible says his kindness will lead us to repentance, not his fear. Kindness. When we see how much he loves us the way we are, then we fall in love with him and we want to run with him. Verse 7, our desires fight against God because they do not and cannot obey God's laws. They cannot. But who cares about them? I'm living life in the spirit, so I don't care about them. And what will happen is then they will shout at me, and when they see that I'm ignoring them, I'm living life in the spirit, they'll come to a point where they just say, it's not working with him. Let's go and try somebody else. Then I am free. That is how it works. Verse 8. If we follow our desires, we cannot please God. This is powerful. If we follow our desires, we cannot please God. But how is God pleased? By faith. So in other words, this verse is not saying, do not sin. It says, do not sin by you engaging your faith. Get your power to overcome your desire. So it's not saying to you, do everything you can that you do not sin so that you will please God. Because God is pleased by one thing. God is not pleased by your good habits. God is not pleased that you don't smoke. You know, smoking is just like being fat, like me. Being fat kills me. You know, if I don't look after my body, I'll die quickly. You understand that? So that's what smoking does as well. And drinking. If you eat too much, you don't look after your body. That's why I'm now trying my best. So you just have to understand that. I look at the people that are liking my articles on Facebook. It's young people. And you go to their profiles, you see that these people are wild. you see that they are wild. But they are liking these things. And some of them, they respond and say, oh, I'm relieved. There's one that we saw last night as well. Because they are wild. Because we're teaching them the word of God. God has given us an opportunity to transform society. And if we pull back, and we don't do what God tells us to do. We don't go to the social media and use that. Some of those people there that are hearing these things, they may be planting seeds in their hearts and eventually they may go to a church and they accept Jesus Christ. Because they will say, oh, Christianity is like this. Christianity is not what I was used to. Then they go to church, and when they go to church, they hear the truth, they receive the truth, and they get born again. You're doing a lot, Barcelona, by just preaching the gospel as it is. Preaching the gospel just as it is. I like what Andrew was saying. He says, some people say, if you preach the gospel as it is, you're giving people a license to sin. He says, people have been sinning before they had the license to sin. So don't think that if we preach the grace of God, we are giving people a license to sin. What? Why haven't they stopped sinning? Because we've been preaching what? Fire and brimstone. We've been preaching hell. But they're still sinning. So it's not fire, brimstone that will change people's lives. It's the kindness of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It's the kindness of God that will change them. Verse 9. You are no longer ruled by your desires, but by God's Spirit who lives in you. People who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them don't belong to Him. So that's a point. It's a good point there. It's not that everybody will make it to heaven. Christ died for everybody. But if you do not receive Him as your Savior, you are not going to make it to heaven. This verse says here, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ inside you, you are not going to make it to heaven. How does the Spirit of Christ come in you? When you receive Jesus Christ. He becomes the guarantee of your salvation. Verse 10, but Christ lives in you, so you are alive because God has accepted you, even though your bodies must die because of your sins. You see now? I see I'm not lying, eh? When I say sin kills. You didn't get that joke, sorry. Verse 11, yet God raised Jesus to life. God's Spirit now lives in you, and He will raise you to life by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able to raise you to life. So your situation doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you stand, where you are, how far sin perhaps may have caused damage to you. The moment you give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in you, He's going to change your life. He's going to bring your life back. That's the beauty of what God can do. Verse 12, my dear friends, we must not live to satisfy our desires. Please, man. That's what I would have said. I would have said, please, man. If you do, what will happen to you? You will die. So I'm not preaching that live in sin. Do you understand? You know, some people think because you preach grace, we are saying to people they can live in sin. I'm saying what the word says. It says if you live in sin, you will die. But you will live if by the help... Whoa, let's stop there. If by the help of God's Spirit, you say no to your desires, don't do it in your strength and power. Do it by the help of the Spirit. Engage the Spirit. And how does it happen? You engage your faith. Because living in the Spirit is lived by faith. Verse 14, only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. Not everybody is a child of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit inside you, you remember the previous verse? It says, then you don't have that life. Verse 15, God's Spirit doesn't make us slaves who are afraid of Him. That's another thing. If you are serving God out of fear, because of anything, you feel like you are a slave. Know that that is not the Spirit of God. You are living under the law. Know that. This verse says, God's Spirit doesn't make us slaves who are afraid of Him. Instead, we become, we serve God as what? As children. Oh, how I hope and wish that my children are not serving me or around me because they are afraid of me, but they love me as their father. They honor me as their father. They do know that, you know, if they don't do something right, they'll get some spanking. They know that, but they are not now supposed to do things because of that. You know, children, when you're bringing them up, they need correction. Amen, Bazalwane. Amen. Okay. Instead, we become his children and call him our father. Verse 16. God's Spirit makes us sure that we are his children. The Holy Spirit gives us that assurance. He confirms that we are his children. Just because we are his children, we know it. And it's not based on what we did. It is based on what Jesus Christ did for us. His Spirit lets us know that together with Christ, we will be given what God has promised. We will also share in the glory of Christ because we have suffered with him. And remember the suffering here. We're not talking about poverty, lack, sickness, disease. The Bible says if you believe in Christ, you'll be persecuted. So understand that as you stand and believing the word of God, living as per the word of God, what will happen is you will be challenged. In conclusion, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at that. Walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm summarizing now. That's what we're talking about today. Walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, following the word of God, confessing it, saying what the word says about you, you will find yourself not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The last part. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are not going to be like him when we get to heaven. This verse says, so are we in this world. Obviously, it is not talking about your flesh. It's not talking about your soul. What is it talking about? It's speaking about your spirit. Then give the place of authority to who you really are. And as you give that place to the real you, you will see you will overcome flesh. You will not live according to flesh. God bless you. Praise the Lord.